Chapter 55. Like hardware stores and sporting goods shops, garages were places in which men seemed genetically predestined to feel at ease. Whether they knew a lug wrench from a pipe wrench, football cleats from a hammer claw, or a fuel injector from a smoke detector was beside the point. Jesse was no exception to the rule. A kind of beatific smile flashed across his face as he stepped into the Helton Police Department garage and motor pool. If asked, he couldn't have said what it was exactly that triggered his involuntary smile. Maybe it was the smell of the place, the metallic tang of glowing hot welds, the earthy scent of used motor oil, the distinct odor of new tires, the cloying chemical aroma of fresh paint. Maybe it was the sights of the garage, cars up on hydraulic lifts, engines suspended in midair on chain hoists, men in dirty coveralls wiping sweat from their brows with grease-blackened sleeves. Or maybe the sounds, the snap and crackling of sparks from the welders, the insistent drone and chatter of pneumatic tools, the thump, thump, thump of tires bounced against the concrete floor. Whatever the reason, Jesse felt a level of comfort, a kind of mindless ease he seldom experienced anymore. The garage was on Park Place, around the back of police headquarters. Chief Ralph Carney, decked out in full-dress blues, shiny black shoes, and a classic cop hat. His hat had more cabbage on it than a local farm. It was a match for General MacArthur's, and that was saying something. At least Carney had foregone the white gloves. Jesse felt like a slob next to his Helton counterpart. After shaking hands, Carney asked Jesse about the bruises. "What happened to you? Nice shiner you're working on." "Long story, not worth the time." "In any case, Ralph, how could you even notice my face with all those shiny brass buttons on that uniform? What do you wear when the governor passes through town, one of Liberace's capes?" "I knew you were going to say something. Don't get big-headed. This get-up isn't for you. I had to give a speech over at the high school, and the town requires me to do the Fancy Dan routine when I make official public appearances." "Paradise is a little more relaxed about my dress code, but I have to get on the blues once in a while myself." "Ralph, somehow I don't figure you called me down here just to see you in your dress blues, as sharp as you look in them." "Nope, come on with me." Jesse followed Chief Carney through the garage, past the paint booth, to a separate area. It was a much quieter space, full of mostly wrecked vehicles, some with evident splotches of dried blood on their cracked windshields and side windows. Jesse spotted Gabe Weathers' smashed-up Honda Civic almost immediately. Standing next to Gabe's car was a large, officious-looking man wearing safety glasses and a Helton PD windbreaker. When Jesse and Chief Carney came into view, the man in the windbreaker grabbed a flat and ripped tire out from behind the Civic. He rested the tire against his leg and waited. "That's Paul Bynum, our lead accident investigation guy," said Carney. Jesse was impressed. "We've only got one person who does accident investigation." "So do we," Carney laughed, covering his mouth with his hand. "You know how some people just gotta have a title in their own little kingdom?"
"I do."
"Then you understand Paul. Don't get me wrong, Jesse. He's very good at his job. Got all kinds of awards and certificates. He'll explain it all to you."
Carney made the introductions. Jesse waited.
"Okay, Paul," Carney said. "Walk Chief Stone through it."
Bynum said, "When there's an accident in this jurisdiction on a municipal thoroughfare or a section of state road that..."
"Cut to the chase, Paul. Jesse's a chief of police. He doesn't need the prerequisites."
"Understood, Chief," Bynum said, and then turned to Jesse.
"When we first got your officer's vehicle in here, our working theory about the cause of the accident was that he was traveling at a high rate of speed and had a blowout. This caused him to lose control of the vehicle, resulting in the vehicle hitting the median and flipping over."
Chief Carney rolled his hands, motioning for Bynum to speed it up.
"However, when I got around to examining the rubber on your guy's vehicle, I noticed that the tires were not only of high quality, but basically brand new. I found a receipt in the glove box for the tires that indicated the rubber had less than 2,000 miles wear on them. I checked the data on blowouts on these tires,
and discovered that they almost never occurred. So I immediately began to search the blown tire for indications of penetration by a foreign body. Road debris, Jesse said. A nail, glass, something like that. Bynum's face lit up. Exactly. We removed the tire from the rim. Chief Carney prompted his man. And? Right, Chief. And we found this. Bynum handed Jesse a sealed evidence bag with a small piece of metal inside. Jesse's expression took a serious turn. Is this what I think it is? Ballistics tells me it's a .22, said Carney. It's been distorted by the rim. Someone shot out my man's tire. Carney nodded. Looks that way, Jesse. He turned to Bynum. That'll be all, Paul. Great work, but I need a minute with Chief Stone, if you don't mind. Yes, Jesse said. You did good here, thank you. Bynum bowed slightly, leaned the tire back against the car, retreated to a small office, and closed the door. You see why I called you down here now, right, Jesse? Absolutely. This is no longer a simple accident, but possibly attempted murder. So you see where I'm going with this, Carney said. You're going to launch a full criminal investigation. Already launched. He handed Jesse a business card. Detective Lino Basque, Silent T, is in charge. He'll be in touch. He'll want to know what Gabe was doing here in the first place, whether it was official business, Jesse said, frowning. Problem? Jesse shrugged. Maybe. I can tell you it was official. He was doing surveillance on a subject who's related to an ongoing homicide investigation. Carney nodded. The girl? Uh-huh. Terrible thing. I read up on what was going on in Paradise when Bynum came to me about the .22 slug in your man's tire. Any progress on the case? We got the kid back, but we've hit a dead end on the murder. I've got a theory about it, but that's all it is at the moment. The guy Weathers was tailing. He a suspect? Carney said. No, but... But you don't want him to know he was being tailed. Jesse smiled. No wonder they made you chief and gave you that natty uniform. Carney understood Jesse's predicament. I'll talk to Lino and explain the situation. I don't think it'll be a problem. Probably road rage. Your guy cut somebody off because he wanted to keep up with the subject car, and some nut took offense. Probably, Jesse said, but didn't quite believe it. Too convenient. Jesse believed in convenience about as much as he believed in coincidence. He thanked the Helton chief for all the help. Before they parted ways, Carney reminded Jesse to stop off at the evidence desk and collect Gabe Weathers' personal items. When Jesse walked back through the police garage and motor pool, he was no longer at ease, and he was no longer smiling.